Well, let's turn together this evening to the book of Exodus, Exodus 31, and we'll be looking together at verses 12 through 18. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18, and you can find that in your pew Bible on page 72. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12, where God's word reads as follows. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. So far the reading from God's word this evening. May he add his blessing to our hearts. The idea of Sabbath is addressed four times in the book of Exodus. The first time that we meet the Sabbath is in Exodus 16. When God is giving his rules about collecting manna. And there we see God giving 6 days of regular, 5 days of regular provisions of manna. And then on the sixth day, he gives double the manna. Israel was to collect twice as much because the Lord had said that on the Sabbath day, which was a day of rest, he would not provide manna for the people of Israel. The second place that we saw the Sabbath in the book of Exodus is in the 10th commandments, the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, where some explanation is given as to what the Sabbath day is and how it is to be observed among the people of Israel. We have our text today, and then right in Exodus 35, right before the actual construction of the tabernacle, there's going to be another treatment of the Sabbath day. Now, why do I point that out? Well, I point that out in order that we can establish significance. Because there are other commandments that are also treated in the book of Exodus, and I understand that there are other places throughout the scripture where these different things are treated. But in the book of Exodus, which is a book of the constitution of the covenant of God with the people of Israel, Sabbath takes a very prominent place. And you can see that by the contrast. So if you're thinking Sabbath comes up four times in the book of Exodus, murder and adultery are both only treated once. Now that is not to minimize those other sins, because what we will see is that those other sins also are punished with a death penalty. It is not to minimize those other sins, but rather when it comes to the formulation of God's covenant, his special relationship with God's people, Sabbath is elevated. So we're not looking to push down any other sin or minimize any other sin, but we are seeking to elevate our understanding of what the Sabbath is and its significance. And we have to do that fairly regularly, especially in our own time and place, because the Sabbath is prone to be neglected. We are prone to push the Sabbath aside as if it were insignificant, as if among all the commandments, this is the one that perhaps we could be most loose with. But in Exodus, we see the significance of the Sabbath plainly established. So Exodus 16, we see that the Sabbath and the establishment of the Sabbath, or the reality of the Sabbath, predates Mount Sinai. It predates the Ten Commandments. And so that tells us something about when the Sabbath is established. And we could go back to Genesis 2 for that, of course. But we're restricting ourselves to Exodus. Then in Exodus 20, you see the Sabbath in the fourth commandment helping us to remember what it is. Now, today's verses, which immediately follow all the instructions for the tabernacle, all the instructions for the establishment of the place of the worship of the Lord, after all of those instructions are given, God gives this treatment of Sabbath. And the objective of the treatment of the Sabbath in this text is different than in Exodus 16 and Exodus 20. In this case, it's more dealing with the objective of the Sabbath. Why is the Sabbath established? Why is the Sabbath so important to the people of God? And what we will see as we look through our text together tonight, as we work through it, we will see that the Sabbath is God's gift to remind his people that the God who made them separates them from the world. Sabbath in our text is actually going to be the one distinguishing mark for the people of God. You want to find out where the people of God are? You look for the people who are keeping the Sabbath. That is what our text is going to show us. And so first we're going to look at what the Sabbath is. Then we're going to see how Sabbath breaking is punished. And those are really two parts of a different, two sides of the same coin. And we'll get into that a little bit. And then we're going to see what the Sabbath represents. So we want to learn that the Sabbath is God's gift to remind his people that the God who made them separates them from the world. We want to see what the Sabbath is. We want to see how Sabbath breaking is punished. And then we want to see what the Sabbath represents. So let's first look at what the Sabbath is. Our paragraph tonight gives us really a sevenfold understanding of the significance of the Sabbath. It really gives us seven ways that we can see how important the Sabbath is for the covenant people of God. Now, six of them, they are going to be given to us that we would respond in thankfulness to the God who gives us such a gift. There is one that's going to be negative. We're going to see how Sabbath breaking is punished. And so we can learn something about the significance of the Sabbath there too. But first, we want to see what the Sabbath is. He knows the purposes for which he puts them in place. And so it is right for us to ask, first of all, when we see in verse 12 that the Lord is saying these things to Moses, it is right for us to say, what are God's designs for the Sabbath? He knows all the designs. He knows all the purposes behind the Sabbath. What might he say about the most important parts of all of these things? Everything that we've read about in Genesis and Exodus, all that stuff, all designed by God, what would God say about his design? If we have a question about some kind of design in our own day, we want to understand how our dryer works. We don't go to somebody who designed a faucet. We go to the person who designed the dishwasher or the laundry machine. Whatever machine we're trying to understand, we go to the designer to have our questions answered. So what is the point of Sabbath? Well, our larger catechism, Question and answer 121. I think this is one of the most important questions and answers in helping us to know and understand the Sabbath. It is dealing with the issue of why should we remember the Sabbath? Why does God tell us in his word that we're to remember the Sabbath? And in part, the answer comes back that the Sabbath is important to help us remember, that we must remember the Sabbath, and that it's important because Satan, with his instruments, must labor to blot out the glory and even the memory of it to bring in all irreligion and impiety. And I'm sure you've heard me say that before. That Sabbath, if Satan can eradicate the Sabbath, he can bring in all irreligion and impiety. Really? Do we really believe that? Because you can look in all sorts of places, and you can quote all sorts of different people to support an argument for a departure from Sabbath keeping. Verse 12 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'You are to speak to the people of Israel and say.'" Now, how many theologians would you have to line up to override verse 12? How many people's different opinions would you have to line up to override the express command and instruction from God? The way to understand the issue of Sabbath is not to count noses. It's not even to look at an organization, even to look at the church. But the solution to understanding Sabbath is to look at Scripture, because it is from God. The Sabbath comes from the Lord. That's where the Lord explains his works. That's where the designer gives us an understanding as to why he has designed his world in this way. And there we come to see and come to understand the things that God says about the Sabbath. The Lord said to Moses, verse 12. Instructions on Sabbath here come directly from the mouth of God. And that means that no human response that is contradictory to it is in any way adequate. God is the authority on this issue. And if we want to understand this day, we must seek his word. We see it also in verse 18. We know that the tablets of stone are written by the very finger of God. These laws that are given to the people of Israel, written by the very finger of God in a tablet of stone. It doesn't come from Moses. It doesn't come from the priestly order. It doesn't come from Adam's imagination. It is established by God, and it is from the Lord, and the Lord gives the instructions. So that's the first thing we learn about the Sabbath. This is how we know that it's important. It is given to us by the Lord. The next thing that we see about the Sabbath in verses 12 and 13 again is the primacy of the position of the Sabbath. So look in verse 13. God's talking to Moses. He says to his servant Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say." Now, there are two very important words that should make us wake up a little bit when it comes to the Sabbath. It says right there in the middle of verse 13, when God says what Moses is to say to the people of Israel, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbath." The Sabbath in God's laws is primary. It has a position above all the other laws. "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths." Now, we're comfortable in conservative Christian churches. And in these churches, we would expect a condemnation of the evil of abortion. We would expect a condemnation of sexual immorality in all its forms. We would expect a condemnation of stealing, of lying, even lies on a small scale. We would expect the church to speak against materialism and covetousness. But the God who gave all of those good laws says of the Sabbath, "Above all." Above all of those, you shall keep my Sabbath. Why? Because Sabbath is worship. Sabbath is worship. If you keep from murdering, Can an unbeliever keep from murdering? Yes, he can. Can an unbeliever keep from committing adultery? Yes, he can. Can an unbeliever keep from stealing? Yes, he can. Can an unbeliever speak the truth? Yes, he can. Can an unbeliever keep from coveting? Yes, he can. Can an unbeliever ever keep the Sabbath? No, he can't. Above all, you must keep the Sabbath. More, this is what the scripture is saying. More than any of those, you shall keep my Sabbath. Above all. So Sabbath is given the position of primacy when it comes to the commandments of God. Furthermore, in verses 12 and 13, you see the third thing about the Sabbath, that it is eternal in character. So if you look in verse 13, it says that this commandment that is to be kept above all is a sign between God and his people throughout your generations. Throughout your generations. It means not just for the people that are around Moses at that time, but from generation to generation, the Sabbath is to be a commandment that is to be kept. The people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever, it says in verse 16. There is an eternal character for the keeping of the Sabbath. Now, we've already seen this and anticipated it, because in Exodus 16, you see that the commandment to keep the Sabbath predates Sinai, and it also will continue past Sinai. Sabbath is established in Genesis 2, before Sinai, and it will continue after Sinai, because it is not tied to Sinai. It has an eternal value. So God gave it as part of the moral law, and we know the moral law to be applicable for everybody everywhere, no matter whether they believe in God or not. The moral law is binding on all. It's universal and it's eternal. So that's the third thing that we see about the Sabbath. We see a fourth thing about the Sabbath in verse 14. We see that the Sabbath is unique. It says, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you." Holy, it is set apart. This day is set apart for you. It is not like any other day for the people of God. There are 6 days for the normal things of life. 6 days to take care of the things that eventually will perish, that you'll never take with you when you go into the grave. They're to be left behind in this world. But there is only one day, a special day, the Sabbath day, which is distinct from all the other days of the week. It is a day to remember the God who created and the God who redeemed. Apart from all the other days, this day is unique. The fifth thing that we learn about the Sabbath because of what the Sabbath is found in verse 17, where we see that the Sabbath directs man to remember God. Sabbath is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Think of it this way. The fourth commandment and the Sabbath that's contained in that fourth commandment is the weekly expression of the giving of self to God by resting from your daily labors. By feasting on him, you're remembering him. By ceasing from the things that kind of keep you busy and keep your eyes down on the ground, he gives you one day to take your eyes off the things that are on the ground and lift your eyes to heaven. That you would see him as the one who made you. That you would see him as the one who rested on the seventh day. That you would, in some sense, follow after him, as we'll see next. You see, all cultures condemn murder and theft and adultery, but only a Christian culture gives itself to weekly worship, a weekly reflection on the true God of heaven. It is a sign, says our text, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. So for 6 days we have our eyes on the earth. We think of food and clothing and shelter, but there is one day when our eyes are heavenward and we think of the rest that we will enjoy in heaven for an eternity. It is a weekly tithe on our time, as I've said before. When we tithe on our finances, what are we doing? Our tithe is an acknowledgement that all that we possess belongs to God. Sabbath is a tithe on our time. It is an acknowledgement that all our time belongs to God. And we remember Him on this one day in a special way, that throughout the rest of the week, the other 6 days of the week, that would be in our minds. We would remember that. It's a weekly reminder, weekly acknowledgement that God created me, that He created my time, that He created my talents. And that is true whether we accept Him or not, whether we acknowledge Him or not. But Sabbath is the means of expression. This blessing that God gives to the people of God that they may express what is true of the Lord already. In Sabbath, man is made to look at God. That's the fifth thing that we learn about the Sabbath just by looking at what it is. The last thing is that we have in Sabbath an imitation of God at creation. And we see that in verse 17, where it says that on the seventh day God rested and was refreshed, and therefore we are to rest on the seventh day and be refreshed. Scripture calls man to imitate God by faith. It's not some kind of a memorization without love. It's not an imitation, not memorization. It's an imitation that is based on faith. And we see that in 1 Peter 1. You shall be holy, for I am holy. That's God's call for the people of God to imitate Him in His holiness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. We are called to do that work of imitation also in Sabbath keeping. There is in all men a call through the moral law to live in relationship with the God who created them by imitating Him in His holiness. The moral law is a reflection of God's character, and man is called to reflect that character, to imitate that character. That imitation is to be given in a spirit of gratitude when you live under the reality of Christ. So it's not what the Pharisees gave. They just gave something on the outside. They were phenomenal Sabbath keepers on the outside, while they missed the desire to imitate God because they craved His holiness. They didn't crave the holiness of God, they craved the praise of man. But if we are truly imitators of God, then we desire to be holy as He is holy. And that is reflected in the Sabbath day. But is the Sabbath day really more significant than murder? Is it really more significant than all the other commandments? Well, it's not really up for us to decide that, is it? It's not really up for us to make that judgment call. If God says in His Word, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, then the God who designed it is assigning value. The God who designed it is saying what is most important. Why would the Lord God say that? Because of all of God's commandments, Sabbath directs man to worship. Sabbath directs man to look to heaven. And that's why, above all, Satan labors to blot out this day. He desires to blot out the glory of it. He desires to blot out the memory of it, because he knows that when he can keep man's eyes off heaven and focus man's eyes on the earth, he can bring in all irreligion and impiety like that. Sabbath is the day that directs us to worship. Now, these six things that we've just reviewed together, that the Sabbath is from God, that it is primary, that it is eternal, that it is unique, that it helps us to remember God, that it helps us to imitate God, they are sufficient to show the abiding and continuing significance of the Sabbath from a position of gratitude. All of these things should make us to stand in awe of the God who gives us this precious gift. And we should be able to say, praise God from whom all blessings flow, and walk in obedience to the Sabbath as a grateful response to him. But God gives us one more significant aspect of Sabbath that helps us to understand its importance. And he does it by showing us what happens when we disobey this Sabbath commandment. There are many reasons to thank God expressed in Sabbath rest, which includes ceasing from our worldly labors. And that's true for everybody, but especially for the Christian who knows the eternal peace supplied by Christ, who has the privilege of participating in heavenly worship now. We are participating today in a foretaste of the glory of heaven. That's what we're engaged in today. And those things can be seen in the six things that the Sabbath directs us to consider. But the importance is also seen in the negative. It's also seen in the punishment that God assigns for breaking the Sabbath. And you see that in verses 14 and 15, where Sabbath breaking is seen as a capital crime. It does that here. Also does it in chapter 35 and verse 2, where Sabbath breaking is assigned a capital punishment status. And in verse 14, it says, everyone who profanes it, the Sabbath, shall be put to death. In verse 15, it says, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Now, that is on par with several other significant punishments that God metes out in the Bible. It is the same punishment that he gives for eating of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It is the same punishment that God gives for the sin of murder. It is the same punishment that God gives for the sin of kidnapping for the purpose of slave trade. It is the same punishment that he gives for the sin of bestiality. It's the same punishment that he gives for the sin of child sacrifice. It is the same punishment that he gives for the sin of adultery. It is the same punishment that he gives for the sin of homosexuality. And you can go on and on and on that way. But oh, that the church would see the significance of breaking this commandment. That the church would see this sin as being on the same plane as all of those other sins. Why is it that Christians have become so careless about the beauty of this commandment? Yes, there are times when necessity and mercy and piety, they require us to labor on the Lord's day, and the Lord doesn't even view that as a breaking of his Sabbath day. But what has the church done? The church has gone and taken those things that would be exceptions and try to make everything into that category. We have called necessity what is really just a lack of preparation. We have called mercy what is really just our own laziness. What is excused in the church today, in this passage, would be a death sentence. It would be a death sentence in Israel. And you know this account because I'm your pastor. From Numbers 15, verse 32, this man who's in the wilderness, who is put to death for breaking the Sabbath, what was that man doing on the Sabbath? Do you know? He was picking up sticks, probably to make himself a fire. That's what he was doing. And the people of Israel arrested him, and by the command of God himself, he was stoned with stones. He was put to death. He was executed because he neglected the day of heavenly things, and by neglecting the day of heavenly things, he was neglecting the one who is in heaven. He was neglecting God. And God says, "You shall have no other gods before me, not even if that God is you. You shall have no other gods before me." And that is why the Sabbath is a special day. So these are things that we can see about the Sabbath, that we can recognize about the Sabbath, and in the nature of the Sabbath, we can see those things reflected. But we also can see in this text specifically why we celebrate the Sabbath. What is the significance of the Sabbath? All these 7 points show us the importance of the Sabbath, but these can simply be behaviors, and that is not the aim of the Sabbath. The aim of the Sabbath is not that we would have a checklist out so that we can say, okay, I've done all the right things on this day, and so I'm all right. The Sabbath day is not for checking off boxes. The Sabbath day is for keeping your eyes fixed on heaven. But the Sabbath day here is given as a very specific instance, a very specific reminder. Here, the Sabbath is given as the very sign of God's covenant with his people. Sabbath keeping is the picture that you are in relationship with God. That's what Sabbath is given for. It is a sign between God and Israel. It doesn't matter if Israel is ethnic or spiritual. It is a sign between God and Israel, Sabbath keeping. And that has implications for God's people. That means, this is what this means. It means that if you despise the Sabbath, you despise God's covenant relationship. Now, you might not say it that way, but that is what God says you are doing. If you despise the Sabbath day, you're despising his covenant. Part of the beauty of the Sabbath is that God is reminding his people there is relationship between them and him. In verse 16, when the people keep the Sabbath, they observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Look at what it says in verse 17. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. Sabbath keeping is an eternal sign for Israel that they belong to God, that God has entered into relationship with them. In keeping the Sabbath, there is a reference to the entirety of the covenant of grace. In speaking about Sabbath, there is an admission that there is a relationship between God and his people. And if the Sabbath is simply a list of rules for you, you are keeping the Sabbath in the covenant of works, where you must keep it so that you can live. It's not for that. It's not for that. It's so that you would know that despite your sin, God has entered into relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And that you, because of the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, have one day in seven to take your eyes off the things of this world, to lift them heavenward, and to give praise to the one who purchased you with his very own blood. The peace that you are called to endure by resting on Sabbath is a picture of what God will do in you in eternity in heaven. Remember the Sabbath day. Remembering the Sabbath day rightly done leads, it says in verse 17, to a remembrance of God and his works in you in creation and also in redemption. That is the significance of Sabbath. To eliminate Sabbath, people of God, I pray that we understand this. To eliminate the Sabbath is to eliminate that which sets you apart from all other people. When Israel went into Canaan, they wanted to be like all the other people. But God gives us one thing that sets us apart from all other people, and it is the Sabbath day. So what does that mean for us, this day of great delight, where we have 6 reasons to give thanks to God and 1 reason for fearing him and breaking this commandment? Well, first of all, I pray, continue to pray, that we value the Sabbath as a command to keep above all others. Now, there are different ways that we can show this value, and there's not just one way that everybody must live under the Sabbath, but It must be kept above all. That's what God says. And so the first thing we have to learn is to order our time for the Lord's day. This man in Numbers 15, what was his problem? Well, his problem was a lack of concern for the things of God, a lack of care for the worship of God, which showed up in his lack of preparation. And yet, in the church today, what is often considered a work of necessity is more often a failure to prepare for resting. Of course, there are genuine works of necessity, but 99% of the time, we can avoid unnecessary works on the Lord's day. Well, what does that mean? That means that you have to value the Sabbath day, the ordering of your time. That means that on Saturday, you're going to have to consider if there's anything that you can do to protect your time on Sunday. Because you delight yourself in the worship of God. Because you desire to protect the worship of God. Because you celebrate that this is the one day that He has given so that you can know what it means to live in the covenant of grace with Him. That there is the God of heaven who condescends to you and who speaks to you. Who is in relationship with you. You must order your time for the Lord's Day. But more than just ordering our time for the Lord's Day, we have to order our affections for the Lord's Day. Too often, there are competing affections with regard to the Lord's Day. But we know that love for God is to be supreme. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your strength. That is first. That is the above all statement of Scripture. The first part that must be true of any attempt at honoring the fourth commandment is that it must flow out of love for God. And love for God never neglects His commandments, nor does it encourage keeping His commandments as a list. If that is lacking in you, there is prayer. There is repentance. There is confession of sin. There is a crying out to God, Lord, teach me to love you better. Lord, forgive me for my love for myself. Forgive me for my love for the world. Help me to love the things that you love. That is the cry that changes the affections in your heart, a cry to God. And then the third thing that we can look at as we seek to value the Sabbath as we should is that we will not keep the Lord's Day as we should. We will not do it right. Every single person at every single commandment fails. In some sense, that's the point of the law. To show you that you can't do it right, that you can't do it perfectly, that you are in need of Christ. But the Sabbath is actually a unique reminder. Of all the commandments, this is the one commandment that says, though I will fail, God grants me rest in Christ. That rest isn't based on what I deserve. In fact, I don't deserve any. I don't even deserve the earthly rest that I'm being given by God. But there is a sign. There is a sign between the people of God and God Himself, and this sign is that He created the world in 6 days. He rested and was refreshed on the seventh day. That is His gift to you. That is His gift to me. And our failure to obey should not be the cause of despair. It should be the cause of repentance. I'm not trying to excuse our disobedience, but it shouldn't be the cause of despair. It is the cause to despair of self. Yes, that's true. But it is not the cause of despair in the entirety. More than anything, it is a gift that reminds us to look away from self and to look to Him. So what happens when the church neglects the Sabbath? Well, the larger catechism tells us that Satan loves nothing more He uses it to bring in irreligion and impiety. Why does the evil one love that so much? Because when the church neglects the Sabbath, the church neglects the one day that reminds them there is something more glorious for them than what they see here on this earth. People of God, you are created by God Himself. And He is in relationship with you. That is cause for praise and thanksgiving. Why is the Sabbath so important? Because the Sabbath is the weekly reminder that that is a reality for you. It is a weekly reminder that you are not your own. It is that weekly reminder that all of your time belongs to God. And it is your weekly reminder, if you are joined to Christ by faith, that your life is knit together to God because He has fellowship with you. Let's pray together.